Can you catch the hidden twist in today's opening story? Stay tuned to the end to find out the answer. I was talking with my friend when one of us suggested that we go and take some ghost photos because it had been a while. There was a house in the mountains nearby where a massacre took place that hadn't been torn down yet, so we decided to go during the night. From the entrance to the living room, the bathroom to the toilet, the kitchen to the father's study. We went upstairs to the children's room, through the veranda to the parents' room, and then back downstairs. Then finally, we went out the back, one by one. We took photos of absolutely every little thing. So then, today, when we looked at the developed photos, we were surprised. There was nothing there. Of course, you could see both of us perfectly well, but there was nothing ghostly in them. That's odd, isn't it? You don't think they've passed on already, do you? Yeah, they might have. So that means we can't take ghost photos there anymore then. What a waste of time. That's not true. I saw another isolated house on the way there. Let's go there next. Yeah! Wait, it's abandoned as well? Of course not. People live there. Let's go there tonight. Okay, let's do it. I'll get some stuff ready. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while, so I'm getting excited. Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. I have a big announcement this week. I've been working on a book about Aokigahara for quite some time now, as you no doubt already know if you follow me on Twitter. But today, finally, it's on sale. You can find a link in the episode description or on koabana.net, but if you're interested in learning more about the forest, please check it out. Everything was fully researched from entirely Japanese sources, and I go into a lot of the history of the forest, how it came to be known as a suicide forest, as well as delving into many of the myths and legends that surround it today. I really worked hard on this one, so I hope you enjoy it. For this week's episode, we're going to be looking at the creepy, spooky, and downright strange things that happen, not in abandoned buildings, but in the places where people work, study, and live. Places that are otherwise full of life, but also, perhaps, something else. Our first story is about a young man who goes on a camp to a seaside school, and while there, gets roped into playing Kokkuri-san with his friend. Of course, playing Kokkuri-san never goes well, and they soon find themselves dragged into something ghastly that will last much longer than their camp. Find out what happens in Terrifying Experience at the Seaside School. This happened to me over 20 years ago, but I'll never forget it. During the summer of 89, I went on a high school camp to a seaside school. We stayed 2 nights and 3 days in a special training dorm on the beach. The area was surrounded by pine trees that acted as a windbreak, and thanks to that, we couldn't hear anything from the nearby beach or national highway. It was the type of place that even adults would hesitate to go outside alone at night in. There was, of course, a scary story to accompany the school, and some of the older students told us a mysterious train on a discontinued line passed by at night full of dead soldiers from the war. Now, it was true that the current in the beach was fast and drowned bodies had washed up on the shore before, so the story gave us chills and helped set the mood. One night, one of my friends proposed an idea. I think there's definitely something here, so let's play Kokkuri-san and find out. Of course, nobody wanted to do something like that, considering the place we were in. Kokuri-san requires someone to hold a pencil with you. This friend said he was just going to ask the spirits how they died, and nothing else. He refused to give up on his idea, so finally, I relented and agreed. We wrote down all the letters of the alphabet on a piece of paper, and about 10 of our classmates watched over us as we began. Kokuri-san, Kokuri-san, we began. Then the pencil moved. My friend asked question after question. Are you a boy or a girl? Boy. How old are you? 5. 6. How did you die? M. U. R. D. E. R. The pencil moved swiftly across the paper, so I thought my friend must have been doing it. I grew scared and asked him to stop, but he replied that he thought that I was the one doing it. Everyone suddenly grew scared, and an unpleasant feeling fell over the room, so we agreed to stop. Can we stop now? No. We asked over and over, but the answer was always no. We couldn't just stop the game because that would end with us being cursed. My friend asked again, why won't you let us stop? D. I. E. Well, that was a problem. We couldn't let that happen. My friend politely asked the spirit to leave once again, almost in tears. This time, we got a different answer. Tear this paper into 8 and bury under a pine. We gave our thanks and ended communication. Yet our relief was only brief. My friend tore the paper into 8 pieces, and then everyone present snuck outside, avoiding the eyes of the teachers. We buried the pieces underneath the closest pine tree to the right, and then put our hands together in prayer. After that, everyone pledged an oath not to try anything like that out of curiosity again. Everyone worried about whether something else might happen that night, but the next day camp ended and the summer holidays began, so everyone quickly forgot about it. Not a single person spoke about what happened. 6 years passed after the events of that night. I went to work at the seaside school as a swimming instructor part-time. Perhaps because I was there for work, the darkness that threatened to swallow people whole never frightened me. Of course, by that point, I'd forgotten all about that game of Kokuri-san as well. On the night the final group arrived at the training dorm, I went around the dorms with another classmate from university, who was also working part-time, to make sure all the lights were off. We found one girl crying underneath her bed by the window. What's wrong? We asked her.
There's a boy standing beneath that tree over there. I'm scared.
My classmate looked outside. There's nobody there, he smiled. Somewhere in the back of my head, memories flared to life. Where is this boy? I asked the girl. She pointed outside, to the closest tree, to the right. The one we buried the pieces of paper under. Everything came rushing back. I didn't need any further convincing. So, that boy was real all along, huh? Have you ever noticed a colleague acting strange at work? A sudden change in demeanor that's like watching them waste away before your eyes. The narrator of our next story has, and after the advertising firm they work for moves into a new office, Things start to go south for one worker in particular. Why? What's troubling him to the point of near living death that no one else seems to be affected by? Find out in The Building People Jumped From. When I worked for a small advertising company, the building we worked in was rather tiny, but brand new. I think the building wasn't even older than 5 years when we started using it as our office. The place we worked in before that was a dump. There was no air conditioning in summer, and in winter, a cold breeze constantly blew in through the gaps, making it difficult to work. Every time we went to visit a client, we were jealous of their nice offices, clean toilets, cool air conditioners, and even their elevators. But our company was small, and the workplace felt like a family, so we told the boss directly how we felt. Around the same time, he was already thinking of expanding the company due to an increase of work, so he started to think about moving us to a new office. We started looking for a new office in autumn. Thankfully, it wasn't the busy season, so we soon received contact that they'd found a place that was just what we were looking for, and the boss himself went to check it out. It was a little small, considering that we were expanding, but the building was new and location convenient, which made it ideal. The price the real estate showed him was reasonable and within the company's budget, so apparently talks proceeded smoothly. Even as they spoke about the particulars of the building, nothing seemed to stick out as strange. But there was one point in particular that had caught his attention. The real estate complained about the office's previous tenant. Apparently, the previous tenant attempted to do a runner, pleading with the real estate to break their contract before leaving. When they were moving, they seemed to only have a minimal amount of goods with them, and the move itself was a mess. The real estate spoke of all this as negotiations for our company's contract were nearly in place, their tongues loosening and laughing about their previous troubles, perhaps because the deal was practically done. Wishing to know more, the boss questioned them on whether there was something he should know about the building, but they denied it with a swift familiarity that suggested it wasn't the first time they'd had to. Still, there were no strange stories surrounding the building, and they'd already purified the office space while it was free of tenants, just in case. The boss had no interest in the supernatural, but if it was one of those accident buildings where something bad had taken place in the past, he planned to argue for a cheaper price. In the end, he was so taken with the building that he didn't care and went ahead with the move. We're a small company, so we made plans to move around New Year, and we were able to get everything over and get back to work before the start of the busy season. The facilities were new and pristine. It was easy to access and even cut down on commute time, so the rest of us workers were over the moon. Around spring, the worker sitting across from me, by the window, had started to change, bit by bit. It was a 12-story building, and our office was located on the 7th floor. The windows were rather large and let in a lot of sunlight, meaning it was easy to feel sleepy under the sun's warmth. At first, I thought he was just napping, although he'd suddenly jerk at times. But looking closer, it didn't appear that he was sleeping, and afterwards, he would always stand by the window and look at the ground below. I paid closer attention to him, intrigued by what was happening, and I noticed he only did this on sunny days. The jerks were becoming increasingly more frequent as well. Our first autumn in the new office, we had a string of pleasant sunny days. My colleague stood by the window every single day, looking outside. Although he'd been hired for his high success rate, he started making more and more mistakes, and his health seemed to be failing. People started to complain, so I invited both the colleague and our boss to go out for drinks one night, so we could get to the bottom of what was troubling him. Apparently, on sunny days, this colleague could see a tiny person jumping from the window, over and over. At first, he thought they were just bugs, but the more he looked, the more he realized it looked like a person. And each time he saw this person, he realized they were getting bigger. By summer, this person was large enough for him to see their clothes and even tell their gender. And recently, he'd been able to see the expressions on their face as well. It was a man, but he only seemed to fall around lunchtime on sunny days. The particular time was never the same, and although he distinctly saw the man's face, he couldn't picture it clearly in his head. The jerks I'd seen him do, when I thought he was jerking awake, was my colleague realizing that he'd seen the man again, and he always stood by the window looking down because he was trying to see where this man was. The story was completely unbelievable, but when compared with his haggardness and the strangeness of the previous company who had quickly broken their contract and fled, the boss believed him. Unwilling to lose a precious worker, the boss decided that we should move offices again, and arrangements were made. We still don't know who or what that man my colleague saw was. It wasn't like people used the building to commit suicide, and nobody other than that colleague ever saw him. After we moved to a new office, his health returned, and everything went back to normal. I wonder if that man is still jumping from that building on sunny days, even now. What would you do if you moved into a new house and discovered what appeared to be a hidden room? Something that the landlord tried to keep covered up and failed to mention before moving in. The young man in this next story found himself in that exact situation, and now something inside the hidden room is starting to make sounds. What is it? Why was it blocked off from the outside world? Find out in Blocked Off Room. This happened when I was in the third grade of junior high. We moved to Tsukuba City in Ibaraki Prefecture, thanks to my father's work. To be honest, moving when I was a third grade student was the absolute worst, but it was for his work, and there was nothing I could do about it, so I grudgingly accepted it. But things got even worse when we got to the house, and I saw it was a dump. As soon as I saw it, I prepared myself for a long cleaning period. It was atrocious. There were candy wrappers and junk lying around everywhere. Not only that, the window glass facing the garden was broken. I sighed. Why didn't the landlord do anything about it? Come on. I was staring at the garden when my father called from upstairs. Hey, Kazuya, go to the car and get me a couple of garbage bags, would ya? I went and grabbed some, but the moment I stepped inside the house, I was overcome with this feeling. I'll never like this house. The house was dim and gloomy, even though it was lunchtime. I got bad vibes from it. The stairs were just in front of the entrance. Down the end of the hall was the kitchen, living room, and a spare room. Both my parents and younger brother were upstairs, cleaning. I could hear them moving about. I went upstairs and found them tidying.
All right, we're going to make this place spick and span. Come and help us, my father said.
I grimaced, picking up the rubbish littering the floor. It really was filthy. How the hell did the people living here before us manage to get it so dirty? There were frozen meal wrappers and mold growing on candy. It was gross. I picked up the rubbish on my way and ended up at the end of the hall. I turned to look at the wall on my left, and there was a piece of tape stuck in an unusual position. The wall was a wall, but when comparing it to the nearby ones, it was white in colour. Was there a room behind it? The white part was shaped exactly like a door. Looking at the plan of the house, it matched up perfectly with a room. So, why was the door filled in? Hey, why can't we get in here? I asked, and my father came over. What the hell is this? Damn it, I never heard anything about this, he grumbled. He pulled out his phone and went downstairs. What's wrong? My brother said. The door to this room has been filled in. Huh? That's a door? No way! My brother touched the wall like it was some type of mysterious creature. Hey, the tape here is loose. Really? I touched it, and it curved in. Maybe this part isn't actually wall then. You want to take it off? My brother said. He tried to tear the tape off with incredible speed, but it seemed there was just too much of it, so he gave up halfway. We could see a small hole through it though. So there really was no wall behind it. The tape was covering something up. After taking a short break, my brother got back to ripping the rest of the tape off. The tiny hole got bigger and bigger, and once all the tape was gone, there was a hole about 50 centimeters in diameter left. Looks like we might be able to get through here. I wonder what's inside, he said. He stuck his head through the hole. Ah, wow, it's pitch black. I can't see a thing. There's no light coming in through the window? I asked. I moved him out of the way so I could take a look. It really was pitch black. There wasn't a single light source, nothing but darkness spreading in all directions. Then our father returned from downstairs with the landlord. What are you guys doing? What's this hole?
When we took the tape off, there was a hole there.
There's even a hole? My father said. Yanagi-san, it's a bit troubling you never spoke to us about this beforehand.
I'm terribly sorry, the landlord said.
After apologizing, he fell silent. Strangely, he didn't attempt to look through the hole at all. Judging from his expression, he was terrified.
I'd like to discuss how we're going to deal with this room, so would I be able to get you all to come downstairs with me? I can tell you more down there.
Okay, my father agreed. It's a bit of a problem like this though, isn't it? If there's a room in the house we can't use, it's a little inconvenient. My father and the landlord went downstairs. There was something I wanted to know more about, so I went downstairs and out into the yard. What I wanted to know was what was going on with the windows in that blocked up room. I went to the side of the house that the room was on, but strangely, I couldn't find any sign of windows. But there was a spot that looked like it might have once been a window, So it was blocked up too, huh? The surrounding walls were black and white, but just that part was white, so it stuck out. 5 minutes later, my parents and the landlord came outside.
Ah, I'm terribly sorry. We'll organize the construction work, so once everything has been decided, we'll let you know. Well, if you'll excuse me.
Take care, my parents said. Are you finished talking? Yeah, my father said. They're gonna knock that wall down and turn it into a regular room we can use. The real estate is gonna pay for it, so there was nothing else I could say.
Ah!
Suddenly my brother screamed and came running downstairs at full speed.
Whoa, hang on. What are you screaming about?
My mother said. Hey, you'll bother the neighbors.
That room up there, there's something in there.
He looked frightened.
I put my head inside, trying to see if I could get in. Then I heard something crawling towards me from the other side of the room. I was wondering what it was, so I listened closer. But then...
It was probably just a rat, our mom said. You don't need to be so frightened.
It wasn't. It wasn't a rat or an animal or anything like that. It sounded like something was being dragged across the floor.
Maybe a large animal lost its way, our mother said. Anyway, we need to close that hole back up. Dear, go and do that for me, would you? Sure, our father agreed. Anyway, there's nothing to be scared of. It's probably just a big rat taking up residence in there. My brother went and locked himself up in the car, as though he knew saying anything more would be useless. But I was even more interested, so I grabbed a torch and went up to the second floor to have another look. The single light lit up the dark room. It was full of luggage and cardboard boxes. I tried listening closer, but I couldn't hear anything like what my brother described. A strange feeling washed over me. I remembered I was all alone up there. I got chills. Then my father came over. What are you doing? Ah, I thought I'd come and take a look at the rat. What's it like in there?
Looks just like a storage room.
That means they're gonna have to dispose of all that when they come to fix it. But why did the previous owners close it up like this anyway? They went so far as to block up the door and the windows. That was a good question. If it was just a storage room, they could have left it how it was. Why go to all the trouble of blocking it off? It made no sense. It's not like we would have been put out by having an extra room. But while I was thinking about it, my father covered the hole back up with tape. When he finished, he went back downstairs. I went to follow him, but then I glanced at the hole unconsciously. What the? Something wasn't right. My father covered the hole perfectly. And yet, it seemed to be moving. I got goosebumps. It was like something was trying to get out of the hole. I freaked out and ran downstairs. When I got to the living room, it was already cleaned up. It was time to pick our rooms. Our mother and father were going to stay in the Western-style room downstairs, while my brother and I got the rooms upstairs. By all rights, there should have been 2 rooms upstairs, one for each of us, but with the other room being in the state it was in, we were going to have to put up with each other until they fixed it. But my brother refused and wouldn't listen. He didn't want to go up there again. In the end, he argued so much that it was agreed he could stay in the living room until the construction was finished upstairs. At first, I thought it was just because he didn't want to share a room with me, but it turned out he was terrified of that other room. My brother was in the fifth grade. He should have been past stuff like that by now, but it wasn't like I didn't understand him. I mean, I wanted to believe that what I saw was just a misjudgment as well. The moment I thought it, I got too scared to go upstairs again. But my complaints wouldn't do anything either, so I grabbed my stuff to take up. As evening fell, however, the second floor was absurdly dark. I was scared to even look up there. It was like a ghost was going to come down for me. I went up the stairs, one by one. Gradually, the hole came into view, and I went to check it. As you might expect, there was nothing different about it. So, what I saw earlier was just my imagination then. I decided not to worry about it anymore. I was probably just tired from moving. At least, that's what I forced myself to believe, to distract myself from the fear I felt. After I was done fixing up my room, I climbed into bed. I was so tired from the day's events that I fell asleep right away. A noise in the hall woke me from my light sleep. I looked at the clock and it was past 6 p.m. The room was pitch black and the noise outside was freaking me out, so I rushed to turn the lights on. The noise was still going. I put my ear to the door and I could hear the sound coming from the end of the hall. Something being dragged? No. It sounded like something was scratching. Was this what my brother was talking about earlier? A few minutes later, I heard a new sound. Something like kick, kick, kick. The sound was mixed in with the earlier sound. I was scared. There was no way that sound was coming from anyone in the family. So, that meant I broke out into a cold sweat. Somehow, I knew what it was. The tape. It was the tape being peeled from the wall. Then the fear really began. My family were on the first floor. It was unlikely they'd be coming upstairs anytime soon. I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. I just stood there, listening to the sound. Then, what I most feared came to pass. Something hit the floor. Then something soft followed it. Probably the tape that was on the wall. The floor creaked. I heard something crawling along it. I was wrapped in a fear I couldn't describe. Tears filled my eyes. It was the first time I'd experienced anything like this. The reality of something I couldn't explain stirred up even more terror. The crawling sound steadily approached my door. I made up my mind. I was going to scream. I thought that if I screamed, my family on the first floor would hear it and come running upstairs. But what if they were out? If that were the case, then I would alert whatever was in the hallway to my presence. No, it probably already knew I was there anyway. Unconcerned for what others might think of me anymore, I screamed at the top of my lungs.
My voice echoed throughout the house so loudly I could no longer hear the thing in the hallway. I screamed so loud and so long that there was no more air left in my lungs. I struggled to breathe. I listened for the thing in the hall, but all was quiet. Then I heard someone coming up the stairs. At that noise alone, I was relieved. The door opened, and my father was standing there, angry. "Do you know what time it is? You're gonna upset the neighbors." He smacked me upside the head, but I was more scared of the thing in the hallway than my father's anger. As we went to go downstairs, I glanced at the hole in the wall. The tape was gone. I told my father, and he went over to fix it. "Huh? What's this then?" So something really did come out of it. I realized it could be anywhere in the house by now. I mentioned what happened during dinner, but my parents thought I was joking. They just laughed. But my brother hung his head, as though he didn't want to hear what I was saying. I wanted to know what happened to him at lunch. He seemed a little too scared to have just heard something. After dinner, I went over and asked him. He screwed up his face and insisted he didn't want to talk about it. But I persisted, and he turned serious. "After you went downstairs, I put my face in the hole to see what was inside. It was dark, so I couldn't see anything. But gradually, I started to hear this sound coming from the back. At first, I thought it was just a rat as well, but it wasn't that at all. I listened for a little longer, and then I saw something in the dim light from the hallway." He fell silent. I asked him what it was. "It was like a hand. Then I got scared and ran back downstairs." There was nothing I could say. I was at a loss for words. Hearing that, I lost all desire to return to my room for the night. I persuaded my parents to let me stay in the living room with my brother, but in all honesty, we didn't get a wink of sleep. Whenever I thought about that thing, that it was still lurking on the second floor, I became more and more depressed about continuing to live in the house. The next morning, I had to get ready for school after breakfast. It was my first day at a new school, an important day, so my father took me there by car. When I went to get ready, I realized my clothes and bag were on the second floor. I debated what to do, but I sucked up my pride and asked my brother to go with me because I was scared. He grudgingly agreed and followed behind me. When we reached the second floor, I looked over at the hole and the tape had fallen off. It was possible that my father didn't put it on very firmly, but all I could think of was that something came out of it again. My brother looked at the hole and started shaking. I quickly ran into my room, grabbed what I needed, and took it all back down to the living room. The school day finished without a fuss, and with a map in hand, I made my way home. I tried to go inside, but the door was locked. "Maybe no one's home," I thought, depressed. My mother had probably gone to pick up my brother. I used the spare key to get inside. The house was silent. I hurried to the living room and turned the TV and lights on, putting the volume up as high as I could. I had zero desire to go upstairs. That thing was probably still there. Did it know I was home?
when I started thinking about it, I couldn't fight the fear that grew within me. I sat on the couch and watched TV, but then I started to get sleepy. I figured I'd go to sleep for a bit, because if I did, then time would pass and somebody would be home by the time I woke up. Of course, I left the TV on. Gung! A noise woke me up. I was surrounded by darkness. For some reason, the TV was off. "Mom?" I whispered quietly, but it didn't seem like anyone was home. Relying on the faint light coming through the window, I grabbed the remote, but the TV refused to turn on. A blackout? But that was strange. The lights were on in the neighbor's house. Was it just our house? I wondered. And then I realized the sound I heard must have been the breaker. But it wasn't like I was using enough electricity to cause that to switch off. Maybe it was broken. There was nothing else I could do, so I decided to go and check the breaker near the entrance. But in the darkness, I was scared. I made my way out into the hall. Everything was dark. What terrified me most was passing the stairs to reach the entrance. I tread slowly, trying not to make a noise. Something crashed. I jumped. I just kicked my bag that I'd put down in the hall. I was engulfed in an unpleasant silence. I finally reached the breaker. I flicked the switch up, and nothing happened. I was utterly confused. Why wouldn't it work? I heard a soft sound from upstairs. It was a sound I knew all too well. The sound of something creeping and crawling. It was most definitely coming from upstairs. It was that hole. I couldn't move. For some reason, I sat down. I just had no desire to move at all. The sound got closer. It was just a guess, but it seemed to be coming down the stairs. I focused on them. Well, I mean, all I could do was stare. My legs trembled and my teeth chattered. I saw something black on the fifth stair. I couldn't tell if it was human, but there was certainly something that looked like a human hand. I couldn't focus. I got dizzy. I felt sick. My heart pounded. I fainted. When I woke up, I was in my room on the second floor. It was just a dream? At least, I hoped it was. I heard the sounds of a machine outside my room. I looked outside my door, and a construction worker was tearing down the wall with the hole. Relief flooded through me. According to my family, they found me passed out in the entranceway. My mother found me, and she was so shocked she called the ambulance, but it seemed that there wasn't anything wrong with me. My father hurried home soon after and carried me upstairs. They asked me about what happened the day before, but I didn't feel like talking about it. They tore down the wall with the hole, and even the blocked-off windows, so everything became a lot brighter. The room itself was full of kids' toys and picture books. Seemed like it was a kid's bedroom. After they remodeled the room, strangely enough, the noises stopped. My brother calmed down and was even able to share my room with me. But even though they remodeled that room, I had no desire to use it. Right as I graduated junior high, we moved out of that house anyway. In the end, I still don't know exactly what that thing was. So did you catch the twist in today's opening story? The first house the pair went to was the house of a family they'd killed. They were unable to take any ghost photos, which meant that the family's spirits had moved on. When the friend asked if the next house was abandoned, his friend replied, "Of course not," meaning that they'd be heading there next to kill that family. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Don't forget to check out the Kowabunna YouTube channel at youtube.com/kowabunnajapan for even more stories just like these. And if you'd like to support the show and get over 30 bonus episodes and early ad-free access right now, head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/TaraA Devlin. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next time for even more Kowabunna, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to kowabunna.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to kowabunna.net now.